Welcome to the Anton Podcast, where Ant is on anything and everything. Episode 15, Ant on TJ. Hello, this is the Anthony that exists in the world after recording this podcast. Couple things. We recorded this podcast, episode 15, which is us talking with TJ, us as in me and you, the listener, talking with my friend TJ about a bunch of awesome geek stuff for an hour. And we advertise in the episode that after the credits, we are going to talk spoilers about Frozen, the new Disney animated movie that's out there, Frozen. But we got so passionate about talking about that that we led into a lot of other awesome geek-related talk that also dipped back into Frozen spoilers, so we are going to release that on a separate episode. So in this episode, we'll talk about how we are going to spoil the movie Frozen after the credits. That won't happen. We decided to make that a whole nother episode to be released at a later time. So all I have to do right now is urge you to go see the movie Frozen, the Disney animated movie Frozen, in theaters now. We talk non-spoilers in this episode, but the next episode, spoilers galore. So enjoy this episode with non-spoilers about Frozen and tons of other geek things. Thank you. Hello and welcome to the Anton Podcast. This is the intro, which I always talk about the plugs and how to listen to the Anton Podcast, which Anton is on iTunes or antonpodcast.podomatic.com. You can find me on Twitter at Anthony Latch, which is Anthony spelled the traditional way, and L-A-A-T-S-C-H. Also, I have another podcast called The AB Conversation with my buddy Brent. That's AB Conversation on iTunes. That's abconversation.net. That's at abconvo27. All of those ways you can reach me and the podcast that I do. I started the spinoff podcast in which I mostly talked about comic books. 95% of the episodes up right now are about comic books only. But recently I just started to do what I originally planned for the Anton Podcast is talking about other things with other people, kind of having a very free conversation without having the structure that we have on the AB Conversation. And I started that with episode 14 last week called Anton Kristen, in which we talked about some offbeat news. There is, we talked about two-headed turtles, we talked about French restaurants hating on ugly people, and an axe-throwing champion fending off burglars. And that was a fun hour conversation I had with her. And I wanted to do that more with other people around the internet, friends either physically or through Skype. And like episode 14, this episode that you're listening to now is going to be similar in a way. We're not going to be talking about offbeat news, but I brought on a special guest here that someone I came across on the internet. I don't remember exactly how we met, but one of the following things I'm going to list was probably explains how we met, and maybe he will have that answer. We'll find out soon. But the following guest here, if you like any of the things I'm about to list, I think you're going to be entertained by this conversation. How about Joss Whedon, including Buffy and Firefly, Dollhouse, all of that mess? How about The Guild? Maybe something called Veronica Mars? TMNT, which is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Superheroes? Comic books? Normal books, even Ready Player One, which isn't a comic book? Musicals? There are so many different things. All of those things, if any of that interest you, you might like the upcoming conversation. There is a picture that this guy had posted that had his lunch pail cooler with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There was a Jane hat in the picture and the Ultimates Marvel comic book. Now that was one mega awesome picture that I related to all three of the things. There was also something that his daughter made him, I think maybe for Father's Day. It was a tie made out of paper or cardboard, from what I can tell, listing his favorite things, including some of the things I mentioned, Buffy, Firefly, Avengers, Battlestar Galactica, She and Him, Ninja Turtles, Harry Potter, topped off with a picture of Joss Whedon. So that's a tie that, you know, he wears proudly, a tie that I would wear proudly, which pretty much helped this connection, which got me to bring him to the podcast. His name is Tyler, or Ty, or Tyler Jones, or Tyler Garrett Jones, TJ Rance, a man of many handles. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Anthony.
And yeah, that was his voice, and you heard a little bit of laughter in between there, so I think that's good on my part. Yeah, all of those things I list, things that we love, I don't remember exactly which was the thing and how we came across. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I was thinking about it the other day because I knew that we were going to be talking, and I'm on the West Coast, and you're in the Midwest, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I was like, how are we going to explain how this came about and how this happened? Because it's definitely not something that I've done a lot before.
And I would imagine that Buffy, Joss Whedon, I'm sure, was something that brought us together. You know, it was through Twitter, but I don't remember exactly how it even started. Do you have any idea?
I think it was something like that, over a photo or something, searching hashtags for things on Twitter and things like that. And just finding people who are passionate about some of the same exact things, and just finding out, just seeing that we have so many common interests was really interesting. It's hard to, as weird as it sounds, there's a lot of girls that are really into Buffy, and that's really super awesome. I have $3. I want all my girls to be super into Buffy, and that's really cool. Not a lot of dudes are as super into Buffy as I found a few. I found a few, and they really get it, and it's really encouraging and fun to meet somebody who's a guy who's, you know, because, I don't know, people like to talk to people who are of the same gender. That's fine. It's totally acceptable thing to do. So it's just like, oh, cool, a guy that's into Buffy, that's into all these things, and gets it, the guild, and all these things, watching these strong women do super awesome things, and it's encouraging to see, so it's fun.
And I totally understand that, too, because when I got into Buffy, I don't even know if I talked about this on either of the podcasts, but I kept it to myself, not because I was, like, embarrassed or anything. I always went to it right from the start back in 97 when it aired, and I went to it because it was my own thing that I didn't know anybody in person that had liked it, so that kind of kept it to myself until towards the end of the series when the season started coming out on DVD, and then basically, you know, I started getting a job and all this money I would just spend into the merchandise, the figures, and the comics, and I just couldn't hold it back anymore. So then I started getting people into it. So I've never, I think there might be one girl named Katie that had previously was a fan, but other than that, everyone in my personal physical life I had turned on to the show. So it's places like the internet is where, and conventions is where I end up meeting people. Because nobody in my town that I knew of watched Buffy, and that's why I kept it to myself, basically. So I think that's obviously one of the key points in how we came to find each other. And let's see here. We will get to that eventually, and I decided, trying to figure out how to structure this, because I'm sure we could have an whole episode just talking about Buffy. But to kind of get bits and pieces, and we can definitely have you back as long as you're entertained with this podcasting idea. But one thing, going through your bio, I've realized it says hard music. You are into hard music. So a lot of people that listen to my podcast already know about me. So not that it has to be like it has to be a Q&A or just the Anton show, but you're the guest. So I figured hard music now. Is that, I guess, the only hard music I could think of that I'm into, would Rob Zombie qualify for hard music?
Yeah, I suppose Rob Zombie would qualify. Rob Zombie would be hard, or White Zombie would be hard. A lot of the stuff that I really, really enjoy is less electronic than somebody like Rob Zombie. It's more messy and just, you know, guitar and band driven, and less electronic kind of, you know. But then there's some bands that I really like, but like, you know, a lot of my favorite bands are like August Burns Red and The Chariot, and those are some just guitar, like just straight up bands.
Are those more independent, or is there any mainstream ones? Because I don't recognize those names other than talking about them.
I'm trying to think of a mainstream one that I really, really like. They're kind of independent. Solid State Records is relatively small. Golly, trying to think of. I liked a lot of stuff, but yeah, I really like. Gosh, I'm trying to think. I See Stars is a band that I just got into. There, it's different with the internet now. I mean, everybody's mainstream. Like, everybody can just get on the internet and be huge. And you've got your pop music and some of these bands that do the top 40 music that gets really big. But you don't have to go to the radio anymore. Like, I never turn on the radio anymore. Like, I there's no need.
I'm usually startled by it. I'll turn on my car, and then all of a sudden I hear some random song I haven't heard before. I'm like, who's in my car, you know? Like, what's going on? Because this isn't my CD, so.
My kids cannot handle it. Like, they're like, oh, can we listen to that song again? Like, we went on vacation, and the car didn't have a little plug for our iPod. Like, I went and bought one because I didn't have... We couldn't listen to exactly what we wanted to when we wanted to. And they're just like, we don't know the song, Dad. Like, I don't understand. Why are we listening to this crap? Like, and we're like just switching channels and they just can't handle it. They're like, well, we want to listen to that song. Why can't we listen to this song? We want to listen to Fun or Christina Perry or Lord or somebody. Like, they're like, we want to listen to this. And they can't. So it's like a different world. So I don't know. I some of the bands that I like that are big are like Fun and,
Fun bands, you're saying? They're very fun bands? So what fun bands would...
The band called Fun.
Oh, the actual... Okay, yeah. I'm on board, so... That was my little... That was a little comedy bit there for you. That's all free for everyone listening, so...
That's free.
I'm sure no one's ever made that reference before.
It's a hard band to talk about. Just like,
yeah.
Like, you know, bands that have, like, really plain names, but...
Because if you ask me... do you listen to Fun, you know, Fun's music? And I'm like, oh, yeah, the Muppets. I have the Muppet soundtracks. They're a lot of fun. Weird Al's a lot of fun.
It's the funnest music I have, yeah.
Exactly. But, yeah. But it's interesting. I don't think I've heard of, other than they probably, I'm sure they've had a song on Glee, but I can't name a Fun song from Fun. But, yeah, whatever.
I can't remember the name of it, but, yeah. They've had some big ones. But, yeah, you know, you can just get on the internet and everybody's got a website and it looks like they've got, you know, you can find a song, you can discover a song on YouTube that has a million views and you would have never known it if you don't listen to the radio or push stuff out there or try and practice or whatever. But it's an interesting thing.
And to keep it on the track of hard music, I was live attending a Selena Gomez concert. She's extremely hard music, as everyone probably knows. Her opening, I don't have the name here, but her opening act was discovered through YouTube from Selena, and she invited her onto the tour and stuff. So just like you had said, you know, you can be discovered through YouTube and that kind of, you know, the radio. I mean, the podcast we're doing now is the perfect example that, you know, it's like podcast kills the radio star in a way, if you want to connection.
Yeah, I like pop music, some of it. Like I said, I like stuff like Justin Bieber. It's not my kind of music. And I've actually listened to what was the first one he had? Something about the world or something. I listened to that entire album. Like, okay, what's all the hype about? All
right.
Listened to the whole thing. I'm like, that's definitely not my thing. But I watched the documentary. What was that documentary called? The old one that came out. And just fascinating the way that he came up and was this little kid. And I mean, you could just go online and watch the whole thing, watch him as a little kid and playing these gospel songs in front of businesses, busking for, you know, and that's legit. Like, that's fine, you know? So it's really interesting the way that things have changed in pop music is, you know, like you can, like I said, come up through the internet and all that. So it's, you know, big name bands, whether it's hard to say who's a big name band because someone's like, oh, someone could be huge on the internet, like Owl City, or someone could just be massive and nobody knows about them. So there's lots of these little pockets now, whereas when we were kids, it was just like, well, it's not on the radio, or, you know, if you didn't hear it on the radio, you had to buy the CD to listen to it. You couldn't just download a song, or you couldn't, unless someone else had it, there was no way of knowing who. But anyway, that's tangential.
Yeah, I think we both grew up in that age where we had the cassette tapes, and if we wanted to record it, you know, we'd be hitting record on the cassette player to record off the radio or the TV, and that would be our, you know, personal copy, you know, without going in and buying it. And now you can just, like you said, getting everything off of YouTube and iTunes, and click of a button, it's in your pocket. There you go.
Yeah, and you had to commit before. It was like, oh, $16 for a CD. I don't even know if I like this band, you know, so whatever.
Next thing on the list I saw, and this is a very wide topic, and we pretty much will get through that and everything we talk about, but it says you're a geek. Now, what do you think defines yourself as a geek? Because there's a lot of people that will say, oh, a geek is a person that is a huge fan of something, or a geek is specifically somebody that reads comic books and plays board games, and there's so many different levels of geek. And so what is your definition of geek?
That is a good question. I think.
Thank you. I couldn't get any sleep last night. I was really wrapping my brain around the best question, and that was it. So.
Well, and to be perfectly honest, it is very subjective. Of course, I mean, I hang out with people at work that don't know anything about Star Wars or basic stuff like that. You mentioned like the most obvious Star Wars reference. And they're just like, they just don't get it, because it's out of their wheelhouse. It's completely different. When I start hanging around with people like you or other people that I know on the internet, some other friends of mine that I've met, and I'm just like, I'm just a jock. Like, I have no clue. Like, I feel like so silly. Like, I don't even want to call myself a geek or whatever, because it's just like, these guys know so much about these things that I'm excited about or passionate about. And so it's like, it is very subjective. But on the whole, I consider anybody who's, into science fiction or, gets to the point where the general populace is like, really? You know what the water spell is for Harry Potter? Like, really? Yeah. Like, you've read that again? Like, why would you read them twice? And like, why do you analyze? I watch Harry Potter and I'm sitting there like flipping tables like, oh my gosh, his eyes are the wrong color. But I watch Hunger Games and I wasn't super into Hunger Games. I didn't like Hunger Games, the books, that much. So when I watch the movies, I'm like, well, these are really good. Like, I really, really enjoy them. But other people who were like, just stickers on the books would be. So there's levels of geeks and there's degrees of interest in whatever you're in. And then it's funny because if you're into comic books or whatever, you're a geek. But if you're into sports or judo or something like that, then you're like an enthusiast or nutrition or something. You can get ridiculous. Like, you can get very like, no, you have to have pointed toes, or you're not bending these, like, these tendons aren't being worked, or no, the heel has to be flat. Yeah. Otherwise, and people would be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. But you're really just a fitness geek. Like, you're really just a nutrition nerd. Okay, like, calm down, So there's different, socially, we assign all these different values to different things, but it's interesting. So, but yeah, I would consider myself a geek, and I find that to be true whenever I start to talk to somebody about something or I suggest a TV show, and they're like, "You watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Like, isn't that for girls? Like, how are your ovaries doing, Tyler?" And I'm just like, "You have no idea." Like,
exactly.
And that's what I thought. That's what I thought for years. Like, I'm just like, I'm not gonna watch. I watched all the Buffy, or I'm sorry, all the Joss Whedon shows before I got to Buffy.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, no, I'm not gonna watch that show. That's dumb. Like, that's too much. That's too far down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got like three episodes in, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Exactly. And now, when it comes to geek for me, I'm trying to think of like what would be the first thing that I would classify myself as a geek. And I think Star Wars just predates everything that I had listed above. And growing up, my brother's watching the movies, so I never saw any of the originals in theater. I'm 30 years old, so by the time Return of the Jedi came out in theaters, I was born. But by the time they came out in special releases towards the mid to late 90s, caught up on them there. I'm into the prequels, but I've been a Star Wars fan from the get-go, and that basically, I think, is my first my geek cred. So what would be your first thing out of all the things that we've mentioned?
Probably Star Wars. Like you said, my mom had like a VHS like ripped off of TV or somehow ripped off of somewhere. And it was just said Star Wars on it. And I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know there were other Star Wars films. I didn't know anything. I just remember watching that. Really enjoying that.
You'd see episode 4 and you'd be like, oh, where's 1, 2, and 3? And I only have 4, 5, and 6.
Huh. Oh, yeah. I had no clue. Like, I don't think I saw Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi until I was like, oh, gosh. I was probably like 14 before I actually watched those. Like, I think I'd seen them kind of in passing and knew they were there. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch these and really enjoyed them. Loved Ninja Turtles growing up. Loved the idea
That'd be my second, probably.
Yeah, the mutagen. Like, I watched Ninja Turtles, like, ever since I can remember. Mutagen, the idea of changing something from one thing to another. Like, watching that episode where you see Bebop and Rocksteady as humans. And, like, I think it's, like, first or second episode where that happens, where they change it. Just, like, that's really cool. Like, I just loved that idea and always wanted to get back to that whenever they watched it. I loved the episode where they shrank and you got to see how that all worked. And I love the science-y kind of thing, where the science-y part of it. I, even as a kid, seeing how that worked out and enjoying that part of stories.
Yeah, it's odd too. Like, I didn't grow, even though I'm a huge Muppets fan, I never grew up in a household where Sesame Street was, like, kind of what brought me up, because I was brought up by Star Wars and the Ninja Turtles, things like Power Rangers and things like that, even though I'm a huge Muppets fan since the beginning. But Sesame Street was never that children's program. I was too busy watching Turtles and, like, Child's Play, the movie, and, like, you know, for a five-year-old to be watching that, you know, I guess that's just kind of the environment I grew up in, but that kind of molded me into the geek that I am today. So it's good to know, too, that, you know, you kind of roots from Star Wars and Turtles as well. So the next thing I noticed in your bio, you are a letter carrier. So anyone that's just walking around with a letter, you'll just take that and be like, "No, sir, ma'am, I'll just carry that for you." Is that what that is? What is that?
That's actually, yes, that's my job, to find people that have letters and be like, "No, actually, I'll be carrying that, because do you get paid for that?" "No, I do. So give me that letter. Be on your nasty way, you cretin." Anyway, no, I carry mail for the United States Postal Service. I've been doing that for about 8 years, I think, in February. And yeah, it's cool. It's a cool job. It's just it's definitely weird sometimes, because you're expected to be in a certain way and be chatty, or I don't know. It's just there's everybody's got their own idea of who the mailman should be or what they should do or whatever. See a guy walking down the street with, like, a Norma Jean shirt on, or that's a band, you know, a Norma Jean shirt on. I'm like, "Whoa, nice shirt, man." And they're just like, "What?" Or Devil Wears Prada. Devil Wears Prada's a big one.
All right.
I saw these kids with Devil Wears Prada shirts on, and they're like these metal-y kids, you know, piercings, all like hair all in their face. And I'm just like, talking to them about it. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, they're going to be in town in a few months or whatever." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Your Devil Wears Prada shirt." And they're like, "What do you mean?" And I'm like, "What do you mean? What do I mean? Like, we're talking about this band right now." They're like, "You like Devil Wears Prada?" I'm like, "Yes, I do." Like, is that so hard to understand? They're like, "This is the coolest conversation I've ever had." And it's just a weird little thing.
When I think of all my mailmen in the, or mail ladies in the in my town, I don't think I could strike a conversation with them. But the one thing, and I talked about this on the AB conversation, where there's this a family friend in town that I've known forever, and while I was working as a grocer in my town, we'd always have the relationship of like, "Oh, how's it going? Oh, pretty good. All right, well, take it easy." You know, that's the extent of our conversation. And then a couple months ago, he had asked me, he goes, "Oh, did you do anything fun this summer? Or, you know, what do you do? And I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, do I tell him what I really do, where I go see, you know, movies like The Avengers for 22 times, or, you know, I go to see the, you know, Glee concerts and things like that? Because I'm thinking he's not going to relate to this. And I kind of am thinking about ignoring it and just saying, "Oh, not too much, you know, just working," just give him that answer. But then I'm like, you know what? I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I like to go to some comic conventions." And then he goes, "Oh, like stand-up comedy, like comedians?" And then I'm like, all right, this is where which is what I do, too. But
I'm committed to this one now, dang it.
Yeah, and then so I'm just like, no, I'm like, not that I'm ashamed of it, but I basically just don't like sharing my stuff with people that don't care about it. So I'm just like, no, comic books, you know, like superheroes and stuff like that. And all of a sudden it was like his eyes lit up and he's just like, it's like, really? He was so interested. And to make a super long conversation short, he ended up talking about how his nephew is a comic book writer and artist. Like, he's on Amazon, and this guy, you know, he's probably in his 50s, who talking about loving Spider-Man movies and asking if I saw the latest Superman movie. And like, the weirdest thing, you know, for 20 years I've gone through having a conversation of, oh, how's it going? Oh, pretty good. See you later. And now every time he comes in for the past 3 months, without even saying hi, it's just like, oh, did you see Thor? Like, oh, you know, check this is coming out. And it's crazy, like you said, too, like, you know, you came across those people that were just so shocked that you were talking about the things that you mutually love.
That's fun. That's really cool. It's hard to put yourself out there. You think you see someone and you're like, oh, maybe they'll be into whatever. And you're like, hey, have you checked out Dollhouse on Netflix? It's really, really good. You know, and either they won't take your advice or they'll watch it and they'll be like, holy crap, that was like, why have I never heard of that? And I'm like, I know, right? And it's fun. It's cool.
And when that conversation was happening, my brother, I work with it's a family owned grocery store. My brother walked past and saw me talking to this guy. And after the 10-15 minute conversation, I went up to my brother to tell him just how crazy it was, just how I told you. And before I said that, he's just like, yeah, I walked past you guys, and I'm just like, what the fuck could he be talking to him about? And then I'm like, exactly. I'm like, I saw the look on my brother's face, and I'm like, he was so confused that, and he's just like, I'm trying to think what he said. He's like, yeah, just last week I was talking to him, like, about hunting or something like that. And so it's funny that a guy that I never would have thought would be interested in anything that I liked, now it just turns into, like, I just wanted to be like, hey, you want to come along to the conventions? And
that's cool. I mean, that was me a few years ago. I mean, I never would have thought I'd be into half the stuff I'm into now, like buying a comic book or, you know, because I just didn't know, you know, so it's, you got to kind of put yourself out there and go with what you're really interested in. And your real interests can take you to pretty crazy places. I didn't realize I loved science fiction as much as I did until I started to look back. Oh, I really enjoyed this movie when I was a kid. Yeah. I loved The Matrix like more than I felt like anybody did. Like, I was blown away by the idea and the concepts that they weren't the first people to do it, of course, but the first, you know, big time movie to really do it, to do it well. And it wasn't the action. It wasn't the crazy spinning off the wall, bullet dodging stuff that I really enjoyed in my core. It was the idea that robots are using us for energy and the blocking out of the sun. Like, ugh, just loved it. It was so cool. You know, so it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. I kind of had that, Revelation 2, where when Battlestar Galactica, everyone was talking about it, I'm going to the conventions, and I start seeing about it, and I kind of realize, I'm like, oh, it's like Star Wars. I'm like, why have I never watched this? And I've never been a fan of Star Trek growing up because I only watched Star Wars. Not that that was part of that, you know, it's one or the other thing, because I love all of them now, but it was weird when I took that realization, just thinking, I'm like, well, of course I should watch this because I love Star Wars, so why wouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And when you really start to think about it and you look back, you're like, oh, and I do the same thing with music. I'm like, oh, I loved this band, but I really loved this song, and that was like, that had these elements into it, and that led me to whole other bands that sounded like that song, and then you're just like, wow, I really loved ska in 1999, but not so much anymore, you know? It's so interesting.
And one thing, when I bring up the letter carrier, and I can cut this out if it's like, I know we talked about it on Twitter, and you can share what you want, but one of the funniest things was that story about some lady, and
oh my gosh,
see, you already know what it is. So
yes, I totally
if you know. Wanted to give a version of that, I think
it
would be.
Oh gosh, yeah, I can totally give a version. It's hard. I tell it visually, so it's hard to. But if it came across on Twitter, it'll come across audio.
Yeah, that was one where like I just saw you were just posting tons of messages, and that's when I was loving it. And I think. My co-host Brent for the AB Conversation, you know, he had asked me just like, oh, who's this guy? Because then I told him like, oh, I've been talking with him for, you know, a month or so. And he's like, oh, I saw that story he posted. And I thought that was pretty funny. So I think there are our listeners who didn't have the privilege that I did to read that, I think would enjoy this little tidbit.
Yeah, for sure. So one day I was delivering mail and I walked. I don't walk as much anymore, but I was walking and just tromping along, and the way I have to deliver this address, you have to go up the steps and deliver to these two boxes up on the porch. So I'm walking up, and they have double doors as their front doors that are right by the mailbox, and instead of solid, they're glass, but they're like that bubbly bathroom glass that you can kind of see through and see shapes.
Sure.
So I'm walking up, I see the bubbly glass, and there's a dog in there, and the dog always goes bananas. That, don't get me started on the ridiculous dog thing, because it's very real. It can be very frustrating. But anyway, this dog is like a pit bull, kind of, but not, like, bigger. It wasn't quite a pit bull, but it was, like, just jumping and scratching on the window, just, like, making this crazy racket, just barking and barking and barking. And there's usually a gal in there, and she runs up, and she'll grab the dog and try and stop it. Well, on the weekends, because everybody's at work all day long, and the dog does whatever the heck he wants.
Yep.
So I scratch at the window. And I stick in the mail in the boxes, and she comes out to grab him, but she doesn't have any clothes on.
Interesting.
I can see through the bubbly glass, and I can tell that it's just nothing but flesh-coloredness on. But she's trying to hide from around the corner, like around the corner, so to not be seen through the bubble glass.
Yeah.
She's also putting a good amount of faith into the fact that the glass is, in fact, bubbly. And so she's like, oh, if I just kind of duck out, he won't be able to see me. So she's, like, reaching around, so, trying to grab this dog. Well, she's, like, bending over at the waist around this corner, grabbing this dog. And it's holding it by the collar. And, it, like I said, the dog's pretty big. So it's trying to pull her out. Mm-hmm. And her womanliness is just bouncing all over the place.
She used good conditioner. It's bouncing. Yes, that's what you're referring to, right?
Her Bedell Sassoon.
Yes.
her endowment. Just boobs just bouncing all over the place from behind the glass. And I'm just putting the mail in the box and kind of looking at doing it. It's just happening in split seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't look. My gosh, is that really, it's all happening so fast.
So it's almost like she trusted the bubbly glass in a way, like when The Sims goes into the shower, steps out of the shower, and you see the pixelated Sims nudity. She was under the assumption that, oh, I'm behind this, so I just look like a naked Sim right now.
Yeah, she looked like a Duke Nukem girl. That's what she looked like.
Nice.
Bouncing all over the place. So, it was so funny. So, I just put the mail in there and then went down the steps and the dog's like barking. She's dragging it away. Well, then the next day, of course, she's in the yard with her dog and doing something. And then, of course, the dog's going crazy because dogs hate mailmen. And she's like trying to hold it back. And I'm just like, ah, I saw your boobs. But I didn't say that. I just kept walking. Stuff like that happens.
Yeah, and I think it would be fun to have you back on future episodes, and if you, like, do, like, one story an episode, that would be fun to, like, go into, and that would be the one thing that my listeners get excited for. Be like, oh, Tyler's on, we'll get a great letter carrier story, so...
I could write down when I think of some of them. I've got a bunch that are, you know, that maybe not even letter carrier related, but, you know, fun stories, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I have my fair share in the grocery business, too, but I gotta say, what your story hasn't really happened in the environment of supermarkets. I'm not sure if I'm bummed over that or not, but going into your bio, the next thing I saw just says Mac, so instantly I'm thinking, of course, it's macaroni and cheese. This guy is so hardcore into macaroni and cheese that he had to write about it. Is that true?
It's in the bio. No, actually, it was Mac in reference to the Veronica Mars character. Spaces for the K. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm pretty into Mac computers.
Yeah, that's a big thing, too. Okay.
That's a big thing. I've heard of that.
Yes.
People like the Apple computers. The red, delicious computers.
So you're saying that now, when you say Mac, does that mean just... Now, I know that you had traded in an iPhone as of late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got my HTC One. I kind of enjoy it. It's pretty fun.
Because I'm the Mac one. I got the MacBook Pro and then the iPad, which I'm holding up right here, and the iPhone. So pretty much, you know, Mac owns my soul. So, but yeah, I just wanted to dive into that to see what if it was macaroni and cheese or, you know, Mac from Veronica Mars, which is funny. I didn't even think of that, but that would have been a good. I'm glad you brought it up because I obviously knew it meant Apple Mac. You like rain. Is that right?
Yeah, I do like rain. I prefer rain to like sunshine because it's an interesting thing. When you work outside, you dress for whatever you're going to be in. Like, you dress, you have lots of layers on if it's going to be cold or whatever. But if you work inside, you dress for being inside. So that torturous 37 seconds walking from your house to your car and then your car to your work ruins your day if it's raining or it's snowing or it's or it's whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. You're looking outside going, oh, it's so ugly out there, you know. But if it's raining or it's cold or whatever, you're committed to it and you just do it. I can't stand the heat because there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Once you're out there working and it just sucks.
Sure.
And it's so hard to get around. But yeah, I like rain.
Okay.
I live up in Washington State, you know, Western Washington, so it rains a lot over here, so you have to like it.
And then, this could be very vague as well, but it says Friends, so either you're a huge fan of the hit 90s TV show Friends, which I am. Hey, perfect. But is that what it's referring to?
No, I just like friends. I like talking to people. I'm a very sociable person, and it's kind of hard being all by myself all day long. But I like to get online and talk to people and meet people and go out with friends and play. But that's one of the reasons I really love board games. I like making people laugh. I like telling jokes, and it's hard to do all those things when you're alone. I really like friends.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, so you talk about friends, and I guess, you know, I've had a fair share of friends and different cycles of friends throughout the years of just kind of like had the childhood friends and then like maybe one or two, graduates to the next chapter of friends where I get a whole new group of people. Like, it started off that all the kids I grew up with in grade school, I think there was maybe like one or two that that went into the high school range, and that's where I got a new group of friends where this is something that you probably don't even know, that we created a backyard wrestling federation.
I heard you mention a few times about that, and I'm just like, these guys.
Yeah, that's
I know both of you. I know Branch is still heavily into wrestling, probably more than you right now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably a whole like Anton wrestling episode altogether because there's so many great stories from there. But so that was like one group of friends that was kind of like the high school group, and then, you know, one or two from there. Then graduated to the post-high school friends, and that's when it led into the parody teen drama web series Barton Heights that I created, in which I created a whole new group of friends that were basically 7 years younger than I was, and then leads me to the next group of friends, which is the online friends. I've had online friends throughout all of, you know, since going on AOL Instant Messenger and all that fun stuff and logging on to prodigy.com. And, but the current group of friends, most of them are through Twitter, which obviously leads to you in this episode and making friends through, you know, Mexico and Hungary. And I took them where, when I was, let me see how to word this. When I had people around here that didn't have enough time and were moving on and I couldn't have anyone film in my movies anymore, I decided to just go to the internet and cast people there. And I created a 5-part horror miniseries called The Horror Exchange, in which there was only one person that I filmed with, my cousin's daughter, and the other 4 people were people I've never met before. I've since met them. But people from Mexico and Hungary, a girl from California and a girl from Boston. And I brought all of them together. I directed them through YouTube, and I cut it together. They didn't know what was going on when they're reading the lines and everything. And I'm like, just trust me. I'm like, it'll all come together. And sure enough, once you watch it, it's kind of crazy how you can connect with online friends and more than just, you know, tweeting, chatting, emailing. And now, obviously, Skype is pretty big. And this is the second time I've ever Skyped. The first time was last week with my other guests. This is the second. And I think it'll be interesting to let people know, too, that we only talked for the first time maybe 3-4 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, for sure. And it's the first time I'd ever, like, I'd, you know, seen pictures of you through Twitter and stuff, but never, and through Vine.
Yeah,
yeah. So that was the first time, I think, but we've never talked, you know.
And like, what's crazy is that the past 40 minutes, it sounded like, you know, we've basically been friends forever. It's basically what it sounds like.
We've definitely had a longer than a 3-minute conversation. Yeah, I mean, the call said like 3 minutes before you hit record on the, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a good testament that, you know, like the geek culture can bring people together like that. The other thing on your list, I see it says longboard, so I'm assuming you extremely hate shortboards. Is that true?
I can't stand shortboards. My feet are too big for shortboards.
You know,
damn them shortboards.
And before we get into what you mean by longboard, I have a good joke that back in the day when you would prank call people because you didn't have, you know, the internet to really entertain yourselves or YouTube videos and stuff, people would make prank calls. And I remember making a prank call to a rival grocery store in the area. I'll just say that, the next town over. And my question to them was, do you have long bread cookies? And the person on the phone was like, long bread cookies? I'm like, well, yeah, they're like the shortbread, but they're longer. And I just kept it pretty good. And they're just like, I'll have to ask somebody. So then they were off the phone for like 5 minutes looking around, came back, said, no, we don't see any like the long bread cookies. And like, is there a brand name? And I'm like, no, I don't remember what the brand name was. It's just that they're exactly like shortbread, except just longer. And I just kept that going on until I got to the point where I'm just like, all right, I guess I'll try somewhere else. But
you should have said that grocery store. You should have said your grocery store. Been like, well, so-and-so's has it. And just been like, I'll go there and give them all my money.
Man, that's a very good marketing idea. I might have to use that. But I'm assuming longboards, is that referring to surfing of some sort?
Skateboarding,
okay.
Yeah.
Do they use longboards in surfing? Is that a term?
Yeah, it was originally, for sure, like a 10-foot or, 8-foot longboards for surfing.
And what's interesting, compared to, even though you like longboards, but skateboards in comparison to surfing would actually be the shorter board.
It would be, yeah, for sure.
So that irony.
If my history is correct, I mean, some of the earlier skateboards were just surfboards with wheels on them, and then they got shorter and shorter and stiffer, and now they're kind of, the longboarding is making its resurgence. And they have these big old, like, 4-foot skateboards that are super wide and super squishy, and it's fun. I don't do it nearly as much as I want to or I'm any good at it, but it's fun to do every now and then.
Yeah, I think my slight interest with skateboarding back in the day, I could never do it, never had the patience to learn. I was more of a pogo stick kind of guy. I wouldn't win any races against skateboarders, basically. But I think Bart Simpson was the reason for my interest to be like, I want to skateboard too, because Bart Simpson was known to that. You can watch an episode now and the opening, seeing him skateboarding through town and everything. So I remember owning lots and lots of skateboards, but never, ever being able to get past 10 feet without falling and improperly doing it. But you, so you don't skateboard as much. Do you ever use it in the Postal Service? Is that even possible?
Oh, I've wanted to so many times. There's long stretches of, where there's no house or you're walking along to school, so there's nowhere else to. And I'm like, if I had a little tiny skateboard, I could just pull it out and just ride all the way to here. But if I fell in uniform, if you have any idea, that would end up on YouTube. Like,
letters everywhere, too.
Yeah, just I could fall anytime. If I was in uniform and fell, it would be the most ridiculous. I did fall in front of Trader Joe's. I was skating up there, and I ate it right in front of the thing, and I was in uniform, and it was terrible. I was like, I'm such an idiot, but whatever, it was fun.
Yeah, I was excited once since I realized that I couldn't skateboard, that obviously scooters have been around for a while, but it wasn't until the late 90s, early 2000s when the Razor scooter came out. And I remember playing in a toy store where they had one there, and you can just ride around. And I think there were 3 or 4 of us that all bought Razor scooters within the same week. And we became the Razor scooter gang going into college. This was pre-driver's license. And we were known, and obviously we weren't gang in the sense of like destruction and yeah, and but it was we got a lot of great praise for the fact that we came rolling in on our scooters at, you know, 6:45 every day, and then we'd be able to fold them up and put them over our shoulder and put them in our locker, and so that's the closest I've gotten into skateboarding of any sort. Is there any other crazy, like, longboard, skateboard story at all that you want to share? That you can think of?
No. I had this sweet snowboard I got, or I'm sorry, longboard that I got off of Craigslist. But, and I had to unload something out of my car. And so I took it out of my car and set it on the ground and then unloaded whatever I was unloading and left it there, and someone stole it. Ooh. And that was like, and I had taken the grip tape off and cut new grip tape and put it on there, so I made like a work of art out of the skateboard. Yeah. Out of the grip tape, like I cut into it and made this cool design and stuff and put it back on. So it was like I put like heart and soul into this skateboard. I was so pissed. I was like, come on. And I like, it was in an alley. It's not like it was like out on the main road. Someone was just walking by and was like, skateboard? Yes, please. And just janked it.
Damn.
It sucks so much.
In a way, it's probably your own fault for making it too cool and too attractive to other people.
Yeah. So. People, no, and that's what happened. It was probably some neighbor kid that was just like, dang, look at him. Putting his eyeglasses down, like looking over his glasses, like, what? Mm-hmm. When I went by and was like, I want to be like him. So it is my own fault. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have made it look so attractive.
Exactly. Now that is a lesson that you've learned, and hopefully that will never happen again. So
be ugly. That's my motto. Be ugly and keep your stuff.
Next thing on the bio I see, it says make funnies, and you had mentioned that earlier. And when it comes to comedy for me, I always grew up with an interest in comedy as far as liking Chevy Chase and SNL and all that kind of stuff. I see lots of stand-up comedy. And then when it comes to podcasts of this day and age, there's so many comedians that have their own podcasts. So now I get all this comedy, you know, at the touch of a button, just like the music. And whenever I picked up a video camera, probably in like the mid-90s when I made my first of many short films, I've got like over 100 videos through my YouTube page, and every time I turned on the camera, my purpose was to make something that was funny, to either, hopefully, you know, it'll make me laugh every time, and it would be an extra benefit if somebody else laughed, but that was always my main goal, never to make anything serious. And then doing the podcast, you know, we talk about a lot of serious stuff on the AB Conversation as far as delivering news, but I like to sprinkle in comedy because I want to do that and get people to laugh. And then spinning off into this podcast as well, and just trying to find a way to deliver serious things in a funny way. And so that is how I relate to making funnies. How do you make funnies, sir?
Oh gosh, I don't even know.
You're not referring to making like Sunday morning comic book strips, like Peanuts or Haggard the Horrible or Beetle Bailey.
Drawing funnies? Mm-hmm. No. I just like to make jokes, I guess. I, you know, anytime I'm going to post a photo or something on Twitter or something, I have a hard time if it's not going to be, you know, meaningful to me or funny. Uh-huh. I just like to make people laugh, and it's both, you know, dealing with my whatever issue of shyness or whatever. I figured out that was one of the best ways to deal with that, was to make people laugh and to have a good time, and that helps me relax, helps them relax, and it's a good time. One of my teachers always said that his least favorite student is the student who puts himself on an invisible stage in front of the class where he shouldn't be. And like, as he's saying that, I'm just like, that is my life.
Yeah.
You are going to hate me forever. And it was like the day we met, and I was like, you already hate me. I want to make you laugh. I'm going to make you break, sir. But you are going to hate me the whole time. Mm-hmm. And if it's going to be inappropriate, not necessarily an inappropriate thing to say, but an inappropriate time to say it, I will probably do it.
Sure.
And that's unfortunate because that's just me. But yeah, I like to joke. I like to find things that are funny or find something's funny. And that's one thing I really love about Twitter, is that you can capture that moment. I can see a piece of mail and make a joke to myself and just be like, click. Yeah. Make that joke, send it out there, and people will laugh, and it's fun. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'll do the same thing too. When let me think how this went. I wrote an entire short film just because I was stocking. I put one container, one little package of yogurt on the shelf. And by doing that, I like spawned it off into an idea for like a short film, but it was all meant to be extremely stupid. So everything I do, like there's a couple serious things I've done and it kind of shocked me in a way, but the majority of the things, the stupider, the better, the cheesier, the better. So like when I did my parody teen drama web series, even though it was a parody of something, my actors would be very serious, which would help in the overdramaticness because I wrote stupid stuff, but they delivered it in a serious manner and they would give me gold. And I would literally say, I'm like, that's really good, but it's too good. I'm like, do it cheesier. I want more cheese. It's got to be stupider. And like,
that's funny.
And coming across, like when you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and obviously there's comedy in like Star Wars and stuff like that, but you don't think of Star Wars and Buffy as a comedy piece. And, but watching Buffy, there's so much comedy mixed into that. Like you'll be laughing, and the next second you'll be crying, and then you can, and then a second later you'll be back to smiling again, even though something awful has happened. So I think
that's hard for people to handle sometimes. When you show that to people, they're just like, "Well, which one is it? Is it supposed to be funny? Yeah. Is it supposed to be serious? Like oh, it's supposed to be this vampire like fight show, or like they can't switch channels that fast or something. I don't know what it is. Like it's not what they expect. It's not Blade or it's not Wedding Crashers or whatever. Yeah. You know, like it's too witty. Like the stuff that they say is too good and too like on point or too raw or too real. And so they're just kind of like, oh, but that doesn't, it's like too much for their brain. I don't know. That makes me sound really arrogant. Like, it's like most people just can't handle it. Like they don't understand it. Of course, lots of people enjoy it because it's massively huge. And
yeah.
So, but you know, I think a lot of people that I talk to, like I try and show it to them and they're just like, but why does it have to be so silly? And it's like, oh, don't you understand?
Exactly. And that's one thing I love the Avengers too. I mean, obviously there was comedy in like all of the movies that came before it, but having Joss Whedon write these, you know, a serious action scene, and I guess a great example would be Loki, you know, threatening Hulk, and then 1 second later Hulk is, you know, just smashing him back and forth, and it turns it into such a great comedy piece that, you know, it's, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't happen in Star Wars. But that's why I think, you know, Joss Whedon, obviously, which is the root of, you know, why we are talking right now, basically. And I guess that is what I relate to when it comes to the funny, that he can do the serious and do the funny all in the same motion.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so much of it is, I think some of the hard time that I have showing people, I shouldn't say that. If I'm introducing Buffy, like I'm introducing Buffy to my kids, it's kind of hard because so much of it is reactionary. So much of it is funny because when you watch a horror movie or you watch an action movie, they don't break the tension.
Yeah.
Like they're constantly trying to like fake it and show you like how real and intense this situation needs to be because this person's almost going to die or something. But on Buffy, they're just like, oh, wow, that was a very inspired speech. It would have made more sense if I wasn't wearing my sushi pajamas. Like that yes. kind of thing. Like, in a normal movie, it would have just been like, she would have just stood up and been like, she would have been imperfect.
Yep.
They wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have put her in her sushi pajamas. Mm-hmm. They would have, but that made more sense. Like, she was standing there being her and not trying to be badass, just being badass. And then looking down at me, like,
yep.
Oh shoot, that would have made more sense if I wasn't wearing my station jeans. You know, so it's
and the other Buffy thing, I was, it's great that you brought that up because I was going to go to my go-to line when it comes to like sprinkling it in that comedy is a season 6 episode when there's a demon trashing her house and he just goes, "You cost me, Slayer." And she's like, "I cost you? That was a designer lamp, you mook." And
yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah, stuff like that. And it's not, it's so funny because I don't know. I take it so, I don't know if I take it seriously. I guess I do. Like when I'm watching it, I'm taking the show seriously. And I mean, I'm watching episode, what is it? The last, I don't know. It's crap happened. happens, and you think people are going to die in the show. I won't ruin it for anybody, but I literally watched it last year. So there's people who haven't watched it. Oh, so I don't like to ruin it for anybody.
Especially now, because now people know who Joss is through the Marvel movies and everything. So there's people with the power of Netflix can be like, oh, I can just watch every single thing that he's ever created.
Yeah, that's how I did it. Like, I mean, I started with Dr. Horrible and worked my way, like I said, all the way eventually to Buffy, but I wouldn't have done it if I had to do it on discs. Like, I did it on Netflix, and it just worked. So, I mean, like I said, there's people who are going to die. There's people who you think are dead or are going to die or are going to do something, and then eventually they'll kind of come back. Well, I know that character X is going to come back because there's four more seasons of this show.
Yeah.
Okay, I know they're going to make it because I know they end up going on and doing whatever, or this person's eventually going to become whatever. But in that moment, I'm just like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? How's he going to do this? What's going to happen? How are they going to get out of this one? You know?
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's personality for some people. Some people are just like, well, you know, he's going to make it. It's like, no, get entrenched in the movie. Like sink your teeth into this movie, sink your teeth into this art. Because if you don't let it fool you for a little while, it's no fun. You know, if you're just sitting back going, well, at the end of the movie, the good guy's going to be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then why are you watching it? Why, just go do something else. Go, I don't know. I don't know what you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
But some people's processes are different. People I know will read the last page of a book because they don't want to waste their time if it doesn't end up the way they want. And
yeah.
I'm just like, I just can't do that. I can't do like that.
And it's great that you bring that up, too, about just like, even though the show existed since 97, but still, you know, avoiding spoilers. The one thing, and I got a friend into Buffy. This was a couple years after the show had ended, and I have a Buffy room, and at that point at my old place, it was my living room. It was one half of the collection I have now, but everything in my living room was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and as we watched it, the first episode when she came in, I had everything covered. I had blankets over things. I had posters turned around, and she's like, "Well, what?" And she's like, "What's going on here?" I'm like, "Well, as we watched these seven seasons, as something is unfolded in the episode, I'll pause it, unveil an action figure, unveil that comes with a story, turn over a poster," and I kept that, and we watched it, you know, in a very short amount of time, but that was so fun to keep that spoiler free, and I told her, I'm like, don't even walk down the movie section of the TV movie section of your store in the next couple months, because you're going to see a character on a cover that you're going to be like, oh, well, this person's here in this season, blah, blah, blah. And because I kept it sheltered so much, and it was, and she, I think that helped build up her anticipation for the show, because by the last episode or two, there were still one or two things that weren't uncovered, and she was just like staring at that the whole time, like not even watching, because she's like, I want to know what's under that, you know, what you've been covering for the past like 4 or 5 months. But and to bring that into the, I guess, the end of our episode here, to keep this part spoiler free, you were very entertained at the fact that we should record this fresh off of me seeing the brand new Disney animation movie Frozen, which is out there in theaters. And before we started podcasting, I had just come back from it. So this will be an exclusive to the podcast listeners, because I'll talk about it next Sunday on the AB Conversation. But we're going to do a spoiler-free discussion right here. We're going to end the episode. I'm going to play the end jingle, and then it's going to cut into no holds barred, spoiler warning. We're just going to go off post credits, if you will. So that's our warning to anyone who hasn't seen Frozen yet, that you're fine right now, but when we close the show, we put the jingle on. If you stick around afterwards,
you're going to get spoiled.
Exactly.
So hard.
That's your warning. So you would ask me if I enjoyed the movie, and I will answer it by saying that immediately after seeing the movie, I went to the store, and I'm sifting through the CDs trying to find the soundtrack. I'm in the toy aisle sifting through the dolls looking for the best-looking doll, and I'm looking on Amazon, seeing which one looked better on Amazon compared to the store one. That pretty much shows my excitement that when it comes out on Blu-ray, then it'll be, you know, 8 a.m. at Target when it comes out to buy the big old box set. I absolutely love this movie from start to finish.
It was so good. Like I said, I'm watching Buffy with one of my daughters, my oldest one. And so I watch it every Saturday, and I've been meaning to figure out something to do with my middle. I have three. My middle daughter, and she's not quite old enough for Buffy yet.
All right.
And I'm just like, I need to do something with her that's just us two. And when Frozen came out, I was like, all right, everybody's going to be pissed at me, you know, my wife and my other two daughters, but I'm taking this girl to go see this movie because I want her to have a special time with just her dad. And we were just like... just floored. Just, but I didn't know it was going to be a musical. I freaking love. I got a Billy Elliot shirt on right
yep,
now.
Yep, I noticed that.
Oh my gosh, I love musicals so much. And I like right away. I realized, oh my gosh, this is a musical. I did not know this. Okay, and it just from the get go, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Forget everything you've learned about Disney princess movies, because they're going to destroy you.
And
it's so good.
And I came across this when I saw an advertisement and saw that the voice cast. I'm very cast heavy when it comes to me liking something. If I like somebody, I'm pretty much going to see every project they come out with, support them no matter what the heck it is. A good example of that is that, you know, I love Allison Hannigan so much, and I own the movie Date Movie, which is a very awful movie. But I saw it 3 times in theater because it's an hour and 45 minutes that I get to watch Allison Hannigan just be on the screen. No matter what the heck is happening and whatever the movie is, I'm still watching that person. So for Frozen, I see Kristen Bell. So I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Veronica Mars was my Buffy after Buffy. When Buffy ended, this was the show that took its time slot. And they were advertising it as, you know, like a cult favorite, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm like, well, I'll check it out. I don't know who Kristen Bell is. And immediately, within the first 5 minutes, I was in love with it. So Kristen Bell, who I later met in 2006, I got to thank her for making TV good again since Buffy the Vampire Slayer went off the air and Angel and all that. And she... and it was her, and she had, like, a best friend with her at the convention. And they both looked at each other, and they're like, oh, they're like, oh, my God, that's so sweet. And I'm just like, oh, I made her go, aw. And
you're like, yes, a yeah. moment.
And then you look at the picture we took right after that, and it looks like I'm about to throw up. But anyways. So Kristen Bell, and then I see Idina Menzel. And thanks to Glee. Glee was the... I had, like, musicals prior, like...
That's right. I forgot she was on Glee.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Lion King, obviously an awesome movie musical, but I never grew up loving musicals. Like, I first saw Grease a year and a half ago because Glee was going to do some Grease songs, so I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to watch Grease finally. And... so Idina Menzel, she comes on. I have no idea who she is. I've never seen Rent. I've only heard of Wicked, but didn't know she was attached to it. She's on Glee. I love her on there. I go back, and now I'm, you know, dipping into catching up on what I've missed over the past, you know, 2 decades of musicals from my lifetime, rather, catching up over 50 years of musicals. So Idina Menzel. So I'm like, Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel, and then I see Jonathan Groff, who I know from Glee as well. And that was the other one where I'm like, all right, this movie easily gets my money. So I didn't watch much of the trailer. So I went into it completely blind, assuming there was music because of the seeing Jonathan and Idina on there and knowing Kristen can sing. But I was in that same boat as you that once it happened, and I'm like, holy shit, this is a musical. And so I had
I had no idea, and I hadn't seen a trailer at all. I had just heard about this movie. And I think I'd heard that Idina Menzel was attached to it, but that was like months ago. Like, I had no clue. And then the movie just came out, and I'm like walking through the grocery store, and I see her through a store and seeing the toys. And I'm like, oh, I guess the movie's out.
Yeah.
Okay. And then me and my daughter were going to go see Thor 2, but we ended up seeing Frozen instead because I was like, oh, I want to see something she hadn't seen because we had already seen Thor 2. And so I was like, well, let's see something we haven't seen. But golly, yeah, I didn't, I had forgotten that. Kristen Chenoweth is also in Wicked, too. I'm sure you knew that.
Yes, yes.
Who was also in Glee. And that is a CD, dude. You got to buy the Wicked soundtrack.
Oh, I own it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because I saw.
Bought it. Okay, good.
Yeah, because you know when Kristen came on Glee, I didn't know her. I only knew her from Pushing Daisies, so I'm just like, oh, there's the quirky little girl Olive from Pushing Daisies, and then finding out, you know, once Idina was on, and then seeing who Kristen Chenoweth was, and looking in, and be like, okay, this Wicked thing, definitely gonna check it out, because then they started doing some, you know, Wicked songs on Glee, and this past May, I think it was, I saw Wicked in Madison, Wisconsin, in a, you know, it was like a $100 ticket, a really good, you know, a touring production of it, and it just blew me away, and I, before even seeing it, I bought the soundtrack, I kept it sealed, I brought it along to my, you know, hour and a half plus drive to get to Madison, saw Wicked, bought a t-shirt, loved it, and ran to the car, opened up the CD for the first time, put it in, and that was my soundtrack to driving home at 1 in the morning, driving nice. Like an hour and a half. So yeah, yeah. I bought it prior to it.
That's rad. I did the same exact thing with Frozen. I don't listen to music while I deliver mail because I'm not allowed to. That is against the rules.
Yep.
But I definitely listened to it all day.
Yeah.
The Frozen soundtrack. I got the Frozen soundtrack the night after we saw it.
Yeah.
And I put it on my iPod and listened to... I didn't listen to all the music, but I listened to this, however many songs are in it, like over and over
yeah.
and over and over and over and over and over and over. I listened to a little bit of... my kids love this musical. What's that stupid Disney... Surf Disney show. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. Crap. Something. Teen Beach Movie. That's what it's called. It's
okay.
Like a Disney musical, like in the vein of High School Musical.
Okay.
And so I got that soundtrack for them, and then I ended up putting it on my iPod just to like, so we can like
sure.
listen to the songs together, and it's not, you know. So I listened to that like twice, and then just Frozen soundtrack. Frozen.
That's
Frozen,
awesome.
Frozen.
One could
all
say
day,
that
the,
when
I delivered the mail.
One could say that the Frozen soundtrack is almost frozen on your iPod. Because
it almost is.
Get it?
Earbuds were frozen to my ears.
Ooh.
And it was really cold here. Not as cold as it is probably where you're at, but it was like 28 degrees. So, yes, they were frozen to my face.
Yeah, the other day we had, I think it was, you know, 1 degree when I woke up, which is perfect for me because I love the frozen weather. And not I'm just adapted to it with being a dairy manager and working frozen for, you know, 15 years now. I've been doing that job. And cold doesn't bother me. It's cold in my house right now. And so Frozen was weird. This is what will cap off our spoiler-free discussion into the end of the show. But Frozen, it was weird. The irony is that I was so warm while watching a movie called Frozen.
I was sweating. Like, I was, like, on the edge of my seat. I kept, like, looking. And it was so funny. It was so good. My heart's just, like, pounding. I'm
yeah.
just like, this is really happening. Like, every time I would start to go, you know, they're going Disney movie again. Like, this is
exactly.
Oh, my gosh, they just did a thing. You know, and I just, oh, like, my heart would start pounding again. And I'm like, this is really, like, I just couldn't, I, the whole time I'm, you know, kind of thinking, who am I going to tell? What am I going to say?
Yep.
You know, like, I'm like thinking of my online response, which is so weird. I don't know. It's the year 2013. People just do that.
Yep.
But I was just like, oh, what am I going to, I'm going to have to, like, everybody's got to see this movie. This is changing. Like,
yeah. And I haven't had a chance. So I haven't had a chance to do that because I, came on here and we started doing the podcast, so I haven't even had time to start texting people and just being like, oh, you gotta go see this. If you want to see it, I'll come with you because I'll see it again and again and again. And in the last Disney movie, animated movie, however you want to categorize it, I'm a huge, huge fan of Brave. And
yeah.
coming from a fan of Buffy, being very into female heroes and stuff like that, so Brave was one that wasn't that ordinary Disney princess thing ingredients, like you say for Frozen, where you look at it and you just think, you know, oh, it has those moments, and then bing, bang, boom, it's not what you think.
I've got it figured out. All I did was look at the poster. I saw these characters. This is how it's going to go down. And
yeah.
just like a lot like Wreck-It Ralph. Like Wreck-It Ralph,
yeah.
Frozen are movies where you're just like, really? All right.
Yeah.
And then I can't even say anything more about it. Just go freaking see it. It's so... And everybody's like, well, what's it about? Like, is it good? And I'm like, just go see it, please. Yeah. And, yeah, that's where it gets frustrating, because people are like, well, why should I trust you? And I'm like, oh, you know what I'm talking about. It's so good.
Maybe that's why they don't trust you, because you're screaming at them in your hard music voice there. And
that could be what it is. Yeah. And I can work on that.
Please don't. So, I think that will wrap up episode 15 of the Anton Podcast. It's been terrific to have you on here to go through your bio, to go through all the things that you're into, and we just, to steal a term from Conan O'Brien, just scratch the surface of what our conversations can be. Obviously, we get pretty in-depth when it comes to online, but I think for future episodes, whenever you are available, we can jump on and talk about in more in depth of specific things that we had mentioned in this. We kind of went through the overview of everything just to kind of give people an example what we can dive into in more detail. And speaking of more detail, we're going to close out the show now, play the end little theme, and then we are going to go into more detail with Frozen. So,
yeah.
To end
Skip
the...
It.
Yes. So, for people that haven't seen Frozen, this is the end of the podcast. I want to thank you, Tyler, for being a guest on it. It went very well.
Thanks.
Any closing statements for our non-spoiler Frozen people?
No, just that it was amazing. Go see it. And, yeah, I don't see why I wouldn't be back again.
Or just in general, I meant our non-Frozen spoiler audience, our listeners, any final words as far as the podcast goes?
Oh, no. Like you said, it was really fun, and I would love to come back and talk about, I'm finishing up Ultra right now, like Lunar
Brothers yes.
stuff. You turned me on to those guys and comics in general, and
yes.
it's been really nice. Oh, yeah, I know. Something else I wanted to say was that it's been really nice talking to you, and it's one thing I enjoy about your perspective is that you really don't, you don't make apologies or feel the need that you should make apologies for enjoying the things that you enjoy.
Yes.
You enjoy your music and you enjoy your things. And I feel like sometimes I have to be accountable for liking something that I like.
Cause you just said that, or I was going through your pictures and you had said, that you like the Hobbit movie better than the books. I apologize or something you had made.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like, I think I made that into a confession bear. Like,
yep,
I have to apologize for enjoying the Hobbit movie more than I enjoyed the book. The book was rough, people. Oh, man. If you love it, I'm glad you love it. But I had such a hard time with it. I was bored out of my skull. But anyway, you don't make apologies for that, and I appreciate that. And that's something that I want to take from hanging out with you and meeting you online and stuff is that, you know, if you enjoy something, just enjoy it. Don't feel like you have to tell other people to not enjoy it. And don't feel like you're better than other people because you like this thing and don't like that thing and can see through how crappy Pacific Rim was or something, you know? Like, if you want to enjoy it, just enjoy it. Don't poo on other people because they liked it. Unless it's, like, Nazism or something, you should probably speak up if Third Reich comes back. Like,
good.
Maybe say something, tweet an angry, something or other if people start just mass genocide.
See, and I guess, if that would happen, I'd be very excited if it happened. Knowing we would be safe with Captain America would definitely be on the job, so.
He would. He would take care of that.
And
stand for France.
Yeah, and it helps that I'm wearing my Captain America hoodie right now, too, so. And it's getting dark by me here, so I should turn on a light, but here it is here.
Son, just don't.
Exactly. Nice. I get that reference.
it just keeps going. So I would definitely come back. I enjoyed talking to you, and it's fun talking about this stuff with people who think the same exact way about these kinds of things, and it's encouraging. It's a good time. So yeah, I'll be back if you've got a spot. Tweet me on Twitter at TJRants, TJRANTS, and yeah, I'd love to see what's what, see what people thought about it. That would be great.
Cool. So, that was Tyler. I'm Anthony. I'll end this podcast like I do all the other ones. I will see you between the panels. once again, a reminder, even though we said we were going to have Frozen spoilers after these credits, we talked for an extra hour and put Frozen spoilers and other fun geek stuff in the next episode to be released with Anton TJ. So, thank you for listening to this one. We hope you go see Frozen and then come back for the next episode to be released at a later time after this one.